We're recording from Google for Startup Campus, Google's home for startups. We are now in their creator studio, a state-of-the-art video and podcast room available to startups for free. For more information on all things campus, check out their website, www.campus.co/Tel Aviv.
Welcome to Humus and Tech, the first podcast by Olim and for Olim interested in the Israeli high-tech industry.
Yeah, you know the drill. It's Kevin and Maggie. But this is the second part of the interview that we did with Liora from eBay. If you haven't listened to the first part, go and play episode 14. In this part, we are going to talk all about failure with Liora, who is the founder and director of Fuck Up Nights Tel Aviv. So let's go straight into the episode.
You can say the F word.
Oh, we say it all the time.
No, I'm kidding. Because like every
what did
time...
I say? Fuck up nights, right?
Yeah, but people, every time I say fuck up night, they stop. What did you just say? What? Are you sure?
Israelis or Americans?
Both.
Really?
Everyone.
Do we feel very comfortable because we're Latin Americans? And we
I
just
think
don't
it
care?
Started in Latin America. So
Yeah, right? In Mexico?
It started in Mexico in 2012. You see, without even asking a question, we went into it.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yeah. So it started in Mexico.
Started in Mexico in 2012.
Wait, what is it?
What is it? So let's... I'll give you the pitch of Fuck Up Night.
Yes, please.
Please. No, Fuck Up Night is a global movement started in 2012 in Mexico City when four friends got drunk on mezcal and shared a failure story instead of their success story. That night was so successful that they invited their friends a week after to share their failure story that started a movement. In 2015, I failed completely and brought it to Israel.
Wow.
Honest. Yes.
And were you also drunk on mezcal when that happened?
No, I was very sad.
Okay.
Just sad. I failed and I lived in Australia for a few years. And one of my really, really good friends until today, I talked to her very often. And one day she said, go to a fuck up night. It will make you feel better with yourself. And I was like, what the fuck is fuck up night?
Yeah.
She was like, it's night about failure. Not only about success, but about failing, what you learn from it, how you can do better now. And it's just an inspiring night, she said. And I was like, and I was so sad at that time. I was like, but it doesn't exist here. She was like, so produce it. And I felt so bad around that time. It's like a long story. She was like, so produce it. And I was like, I can't do anything. I was really not myself around that time. And for a full week, she called me every day and reminded me of things that I did in Australia that were like big projects or initiative or even events to show me that I can. And after that conversation, like the seventh one.
That's a very good friend, by the way.
She's an amazing friend. I called Mexico. I got the franchise and we started it in Tel Aviv. After that, it started also in Haifa and Jerusalem for a period. Now it's mostly in Tel Aviv. It's incredible, to be honest. It's monthly event. They're completely free. We bring four speakers from different fields, which means they can be from the high-tech industry, they can be from NGOs, they can be celebrities, they can be even like soccer players. Mm. And they all share their biggest failure story. Why? Not to talk about the success that came after, if it came after, but to show people that failure is a part of life. And it's a common ground for everyone. And if we learn from the fuck up, if we take ownership on the fuck up, that's when we can grow. And we see it more and more. And even when we talk to investors now and everything, people tell us we look for the failure. In job interviews in Israel, people now ask, what was your failure? And they try to see if you take ownership on the failure or toss it to someone else.
It's very interesting because it's actually true.
You know? It is.
Yeah.
It is. Like,
also, it shows that you're like humble and you're humble. Like, you're owning, you know, whatever you did and,
exactly.
and taking responsibility.
Exactly.
Do people share their failures only after they have overcome them and they succeeded?
Or no. We had stories that of fuck ups that are happening right now. Like they're still in the making of the fuck up. And we had people talk about relationships that ended, not necessarily having another relationship after or anything. So we don't define to people what is a failure. That's another thing. We tell them, share your failure story. And then we work with them. We ask them hard questions on the failure itself to try to also prep them. And you know, it's the most amazing thing. We have people They've been speaking like on global stages and everything. They come to a stage, a small stage of 200, 300 people.
But it's still pretty, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not about the people. They always say that. It's not about the amount of people in the audience. It's the fact that I went on a stage and talked about a failure. So it's private. And we see different stories between females and male, and we see different stories between entrepreneurs and like social entrepreneurs, even tech and social. But it's amazing to see that everyone fails. And out of 300 people, we will ask them, everyone in the audience will send them a survey after, who did you relate with and who was the most, not fun, but the most interesting failure in a way. And it's not the same answer most of the time. And you know what's the most like weird thing? They will come, they will listen to four stories. Usually they will find one out of them that is like really relatable for themselves, and it's not going to be the same one for everyone in the audience. And that we're fine with it. We're saying it in every event. Our mission that you came here tonight, not only to hear about failure, but to find one story that you can relate to and talk about tomorrow morning so you can share the failure with other people and start a conversation. We want people to start a conversation about failure in the workplace. And in the past year, we started to do fuck up nights in workplaces.
Oh, wow.
I know.
For the company itself, like
for the company itself, it could be in-house, it could be it's different models. It's a business model that we created together with the global movement. But it's amazing. Like the conversation is so different when you talk about it in a company. We did an incredible event with SodaStream, which is a big company, and there were like 300 of the employees there. And in the beginning, we only do events with companies that the managements are on board, and one of the management team, like C-level executive, will come and speak. And if they share like a story, we know it's going to be fine. Why? Because the audience will be not only engaged, but more open for the conversation, because it's not only managers and directors, it's like the C-level executive, if they're talking about failure, like we can do it as well.
Yeah, because it really, like when you hear your boss or amazing. The CEO of the company, it really enables the conversation to just open up. I mean, if they're saying it, then why shouldn't I be saying it?
And it's just incredible to see what happens in organizations that have, like I know that a lot of people have failure events and everything, they're not fuck up nights. We know that now. Like we know that it's different, the power that we have, like in preparing the speakers, the production itself and everything, it's different. But it's just incredible. Like it's even more fun to do it now, which is funny. Like FUN is fuck up night.
Oh.
So by the way, if you look like for fuck up nights in Gaza or Lebanon or Syria or Saudi Arabia, it will call FUN, which is the initial for fuck up night.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
So it's fun. But it's even more fun to do events now because our scope of impact is big, is massive. It's an organization and with the government and with just everyone. Because the reason that we're doing business events is to make sure that we can continue doing the open events every month. And a thing about Olim, we always try to have an Olé on our team.
Yeah, I want to give a cute shout out to Marta.
And Margo,
of course. But, you know, Marta is also part of the Google campus where we're recording. So, Marta, thank you for making everything possible.
I know. She was part of the team for like years, the same with Margo. And the reason that we have an Olé in our team is because we're a team of Israelis. And when we have an Olé in our team, they are the content reminder that we have to do an English-speaking event at least once a quarter. Because if they're not there, we're not doing it. It's harder for us to produce an English event. Mm-hmm. It's harder for us to find English native speakers that can share their story about failure and everything and be interesting and be engaging with the audience. Not because I'm saying they're not out there, but it's harder for us to find because they're not part of our networks.
Yeah.
So when they're there, we have to do it. And we see, by the way, the English speaking events are like selling out. And again, the tickets are free, but like in an hour and a half.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, I know. It's very like it's you should be like really like watching over what's going on there because they just fly.
And people don't even wait to see who the speakers are. They just want to be a part of the event. That's the power of the movement. That's amazing.
Yeah, because I think it goes beyond. I mean, when you're talking about failure, it just doesn't really matter who is telling the failure. It's about like opening up to the fact that you failed once. And that's already an experience beyond where like the industry is from and everything. And it's kind of like comforting in a way. Hear about, you know, someone that fails because it really makes you feel better about yourself. Not because you're superior, but because you're like, okay, this happened to me and it's
okay
fine.
To fail, yeah.
We have a team of 10 to 12 people, like all the time. And they're volunteers, they're amazing. They're like full-time employees, exec in some companies. They're incredible. But what we saw is from the second you join the Fakumnai team till you quit, it's like 6 months, 6 or 8 months. Why, you ask? Because your conversation all day is around failure, about succeeding. It's about trying. It's about going for the stars. It's about making dreams come true. And all of a sudden, when you think about it all day and all the time, you know that you can do more than in your life than what you're doing right now if you want it. But it's incredible. And we call it the fuck up night syndrome. And like every one of the people that volunteer in the organization quit after a period of time.
So it's very empowering.
It is. It is. Think about it. You always talk about not motivation, but real life problems and how you pass them and how you be better in what you're doing right now and do better and do good to your environment. It's so empowering. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And do you remember, or can you think of one great fuck up story that you heard in one of those nights that really like was meaningful to you on a personal level? And you're like, okay, I can really relate to the story.
Oh my God. There are honestly so many. By now we had over 150 speakers. And again, if you ask anyone in the team, they will tell you someone else.
Yeah.
Because
it resonates differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that two things were like, they're really different. So we had Muli Eden, the brilliant Muli Eden, who was a former president of Intel, an incredible person to follow, by the way, if you're into tech. So inspiring. And he talked about how he fell in love with a product that wasn't mature enough, that wasn't right for the company, and cost Intel a lot of dollars because he fell in love with the product and he didn't listen to feedback from his coworkers and his team and anything. And he talked about the failure in a business way, like he showed it, but also as in manager perspective, the failure that he had as a manager. If you had a team, why don't you listen to the team? And when should you have like those red lines of when to stop? And now he says, when he works with startups, they plan the red line before they plan the product.
Yeah, of course.
It's so interesting. And postmortem to a product and how they build like the process around it. Amazing. So, so inspiring. In the tech kind of like mindset, a story like that is incredible. And from another aspect, I'll go to Paula Rosenberg, which is an anchor on the TV of like morning shows. And she's a social entrepreneur and a really big web persona. And her failure was the public persona that she kept for so many years when she was miserable in every aspect in her life because she wanted everybody else to think that everything is perfect, which I think is a story that everybody can relate to.
Absolutely. Social media is something that, you know, really like makes us expose like, oh, we're so happy and we're doing great at work and we're doing great in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Everything, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
What would you say your biggest failure, your biggest fuck up was?
My life. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So the reason that I started Fuck Up Night is because of a series of no's that I got. For 2.5 years, I told the story that I had an idea for a startup and it failed. And that was, I built Fuck Up Night. I have to say, I didn't build it by myself. From the start, we were a team of 10 people, 10 incredible volunteers that just had an idea in mind and kind of ran with it. We didn't even know each other. They came because of a post on Facebook. And those people are now kind of my other family. Like the team changed and everything. But I talk to the Fuck Up Night team more than I talk to my family sometimes.
That's amazing.
I know. Again, completely volunteering. It's insane. But so I told a story about the fact that I like failed in an entrepreneurial way, but it wasn't a real story. The real story was when I moved from NGOs to high tech. Mm-hmm. It's like a long story, but I'll make it very, very short. I lost all the confidence I had because a few people told me no, because I'm not right to the startup industry or tech industry. I didn't have the right experience, which is a story of a lot of people, and completely broke me. They were very rude. It was a different time. But in a way, I lost myself completely and let a lot of other people tell me what I'm worth, what I can do in life. And it brought me to a really dark place with myself. And I think the biggest failure then was, one, never asked for help. The other one kept everything fine from the outside. Like when people ask, by the way, fine is the most passive aggressive word out there.
Absolutely.
How are you? Fine.
Fine. I'm just, everything is fine. Like fine. So I kept that persona again. Like everything is amazing. And I had like, I used to take a lot of photos like in one event and then post them on Instagram like for weeks or street art or everything. So it would look like my life is really full and everything. But inside I was dying, honestly. Like, I was really, really sad. So the one thing was that I didn't ask for help or I didn't share it with people because I was so afraid of what everybody will say and judge me and even feel sorry for me and what the hell. And the other thing was I let other people let me think that they know better
than who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. And the third thing was that I gave up really quickly that it's not me because of like a few no's that set up my life. And the ironic thing was about everything was 2 weeks after we started the idea of Fuck Up, we had the first meeting in December, the first event in January. I got in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because wow. I got my confidence again.
Yeah.
Not because something changed in my work experience or anything, but I started working on something. And by the way, that's another tip. Find something to volunteer while you're here. It could be an NGO. It could be a tech community that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Things will happen because of it. But yeah, I got weeks one of my bosses said, you're not a great person. And I asked him what it means. He was like, you come with a passion that it's not only about work and it's not only about communities. I was a community manager, but about life, about creating more than just a 9-to-5 workplace with the people there and everything. And I think that's like
something that really caught their attention.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Inspiring.
Yeah, I know. And wow. And like that for me was a really big, big thing. You see, I'm like lacking words.
Beautiful story also.
Thank
did you,
you
share
thank
it
you.
On stage?
I did a year and a half ago. It was very hard. My mom was there.
Oh, wow. Mm. So
it was the first time she heard it. She didn't know because I really hide it from it. I didn't want to worry anyone also at the same time. But it's like, I think every one of us at some stage of our life, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with the insecurity, with what other people think, with we want more of our life, but we don't know how to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's very important also to feel comfortable.
Exactly.
To ask for help. I think that we are, we're in a place where we all understand that nothing is perfect and it's so hard to get stuff done sometimes. We have so much pressure. And by asking for help, you're not only, being honest with yourself and being open, but you're also enabling other people not to feel sorry about you, but to also understand like, hey, she's going through this or he's going through this. And it's okay for me to admit it as well. You know, once you start opening up this conversation, it's just like a domino effect, right? Like everyone's going through hard moments in life. And it's very hard sometimes to like get that job that you wanted or move to that country you wanted or have this great idea and make it worth $1 million. Things don't just happen from one day to another. And there's so much work that needs to be done in between. And I think it's very important that you just become very honest about like, things are hard and things that are worth it are usually hard. And if we start talking about like how many times you fucked up in between, it just makes people happier. It's so real. I cannot think of just one person who woke up one day and did success in life. It's just crazy.
I'm just smiling and nodding, looking at Maggie. I totally relate to this. Yeah.
And I think for Olim, it's even harder. Because, and by the way, you don't have to run to the next extreme, which means share it on a stage or write a public post about it. But share it with like your group of friends or somebody that you know, your roommate or anything, but don't keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you asked me in the beginning, like of my work with Olim, I used to work a lot with Olim, helping them finding the next job. And that was a struggle. They never shared their struggles with their family back home because they didn't want them to worry.
It's absolutely true.
Or with friends because they were more successful because they're here for a few years now and how come they're not catching up? It's like, it's a story of everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you're Olay, Israeli, not Israeli.
Yeah, but I think like something like very specifically you just said, I think like, when you're in Olay, you all of a sudden have two lives. You have two words and all of a sudden you have one family that's waiting for you back at home and you're building another family in this, place, wherever you're moving. And for some reason, because things are happening in this particular place that you're right now, you feel comfortable or a bit more comfortable talking about things that are happening, let's say, in Israel with your Israeli friends. And you're kind of like neglecting your family back home because like they're not there and you don't know how they can measure stuff. You know, you can say like, today I'm feeling like not very happy, and they can like think that you're actually very upset. And maybe it was just a matter of like a few hours or something. And I think like also bringing them to that conversation just makes everything more stable for you, because you're just neglecting that part of your life just to, you know, all like social media, you know, just want to be happy all the time for them. And it's okay not to be happy all the time. And it's okay to have failures every now and then, or more, you know, now than then. But it's very important to just feel comfortable and owning it. Yeah. And I think if we all would start having this conversation on more like daily basis, and I think that's why it's so amazing, you know, what you guys are doing at Fuck Up Nights, we would all feel much more empowered. Like, I think it's the opposite. People think like, oh, if I'm sharing my failures, then I look weak. Or it's not. I think it's the complete opposite. And you just look so strong when you're like actually owning it. And I, you know, highly suggest everyone to like start sharing
their failure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I find myself again nodding and agreeing to everything that Mai is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's been a wonderful conversation. It's time to wrap it up. We always finish our TV show. We always finish our episodes with the Hebrew word of the day, something that can help us Olim living here on the high-tech industry, something that it's also meaningful for you. So what's that word for you?
I have a word that is nothing that you just said.
It's in Hebrew at least?
It's in Hebrew. I'll say it and then I'll give you a word that will help you.
Okay.
So that word is schle. Which is also very hard to say.
Yeah,
can I try that?
Schle.
Schle.
Schle. Yeah. No, so I the cannot. Schle is the leftover in a bottle, like for like you drink Diet Coke.
Egulito.
Egulito.
It's like the leftover. Yeah.
In Spanish, we call it the little ass.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's that. It's a fun word to say. Schle. Nobody drink it.
Schle.
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 I'm telling you, it will change your life now. And I think like a word that will help you.
I think that word it's already super helpful.
You see, I know.
Also, like who wants to drink that? It's like, oh, there's chle, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Then you can say it. Don't give it to me.
Is it a word? I'm sorry. I'm just becoming very interesting about this. Is this a word about like being like putting someone in an awkward position? Like, what are you treating me like a chle?
No, but you can.
Right?
Now when I'm thinking about it, make it's it like, a word. Make it like a real word.
Like, right. It's like, an adjective. Like, what? I'm not the chle of this person.
That's good.
You know, like the last option.
You should start a trend.
Hashtag start a trend.
Chle. A word that can help you in the high-tech industry. I will say bevakasha, honestly, because I think as we talk
wait, if you say bevakasha, they will take your Israeli passport.
Why?
No?
Because no.
Can you say bevakasha?
Because no one says, like, no one is saying, like, please and sorry here.
No, that's bullshit. Like, in Israeli tech ecosystem, people say too much thank you and please.
Yeah.
Like, and also, I don't know if you noticed, but Israelis are very formal when it comes to emails in English.
Yes.
Like, over formal.
Yes.
I don't see this.
You don't see that?
No,
I see that
like
all
one,
the time.
One line email.
One line email, very quick, very sharp. Yeah.
Tupal. That's my very, like, taken care of. Yeah. That's all.
Done. Yeah, so there's a lot of them.
Bevakasha,
because if you can do one thing, is ask for help. If you're not sure of something, ask for the help. People will give it to you.
And with a smile.
With a smile.
Always with a smile.
And an accent. If you can do it in your like native accent, for sure people will help you.
Bevakasha. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It was an actual pleasure. It was, I think, a very moving episode.
Yeah, it was a wonderful conversation.
Not an hola. Shocking.
Shocking.
I mean,
not an hola.
Technically an hola.
Yeah, but you know, here it goes. Like one of our failures. We got our first hola. Thank you. And we encourage all of you listening to like share your failures on the comments on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So we can also start.
Or at least with your friends.
At least with your friends.
Yeah, or their
families. And please remember, you know, to follow up Fuck Up Nights on Facebook.
Fuck Up Nights Tel Aviv, please. Or Fuck Up Jerusalem, depends where you are in Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do not, you know, miss the opportunity of like actually going to these events. I've been to a few of them and they're actually amazing and life changing. And I think it's very important we all, you know.
It's so fun to hear. Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. You're amazing.
For sure.
And thank you everyone for listening to us. It's super important. It's critical that you share the podcast with your friends and family and everyone who is thinking of coming here. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. You can actually do that. You cannot do it in Spotify, but you can on Apple Podcast.
Yeah, but you can subscribe on Spotify to always be on top of the new episodes coming up. And remember to follow us on social media.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Very much.